Well, we are having a great breaking loose here in so many different ways. We're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us. And, you know, revival more than it being a one-time event. It's a mindset change to truly trust God and believe God and tap into exactly everything that He's made available for us already through the cross, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to do that, aren't we? Yes. How many of you can feel yourselves this year growing stronger and stronger and going higher and higher? Oh, I can. We're not moved by feelings at all, but it's good when you feel it, isn't it? Yes. Amen. Oh, yeah. Stronger and stronger. This morning, we're going to start a new series. And actually, I planned on starting it last week, but that's all right. We're starting it this week. And I want us to talk about some foundational things that are so very, very important to learning how, what it means to, you know, to really believe God. You know, the gospel is simple. Faith is simple. But how many of you realize, you know, the longer that you live in this, sometimes the devil can come in and you don't even realize it's happening, right? And things get so complicated. And you begin to let things slip, and you know, He works on your mind through things, right? Amen. Well, it works for others, but it's not working for you, or it worked for you before, but it's not going to work for you this time. Anybody ever been there? Yes. And fear tries to set in, and all kinds of stuff. And we need to know what it really means, how to believe God. How to believe God. And what we talk about, you know, being a ministry of faith, you know, word of faith, whatever label you want to put on it, you know, this is a victorious message. Yes. It's a message of the Bible. It's a message of victory. And so when I talk about living by faith, I'm talking about living victoriously. Amen. In every circumstance and coming out on top, always, right? Yes. So turn with me to Mark chapter 11. I'm going to do my best to stick with my notes here because I believe there's some things that the Lord just desires to get out to us. Mark 11, verse 22, Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." Boy, you can't get any simpler than that. Look at that last phrase there. This is from the New King James, of course. He said, "Have faith in God." He told us exactly where to put our faith, right? Not in circumstances, not in conditions, right? Amen. Not in the devil, not in lies, right? But where do we put it? We put it in God. Now, let's go over and let's look at another passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 13. But you probably don't have the Passion paraphrase or Passion translation, whatever label you want to put on it, with you. Or if you got it on your iPad, you can read along with me, of course. But if you don't, then just listen to me. Is that okay? Amen. Jesus said, remember, Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. Now, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, out of the Passion, it says, we'll begin in verse 1 through 13. It says, "If I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love, my words would be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal." Wow. "And if I were to have the gift of prophecy with a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possessed unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that I could move mountains," but notice this, "but have never learned to love, then I am nothing." You notice that? Then I am nothing. You're nothing without love. Amen? Absolutely nothing. Verse 3. "And if I were to be so generous as to give away everything I owned," to feed the poor, and to offer my body to be burned as a martyr. This is powerful here. Without the pure motive of love, notice this, it says, I would gain nothing. You notice that? You know, it's okay for you to gain. The Lord wants you to gain. Because He wants to give to you. But we have to make sure that when we have an understanding of love, we think that, you know, I had somebody tell us one time, we were talking, actually Carolyn Savelle, we were talking with her one day in the living room and sitting down talking about so many different things, and she said, she turned to me and she said this, she said, Wayne, you know, it's possible to give everything away and you have nothing left. Like, oh my gosh, I mean, no, this is Carolyn Savelle, this is faith ministry, this is, what are you talking about? It's possible to give everything away and not have anything left for yourself. Wow. Now, we need to understand that you can't outgive God, but our giving has to be in Him. Right? It has to be in Him, because if it's not in Him, then you're not going to gain anything. You'll have absolutely nothing left for yourself. And that's not okay. Let's keep going here. Amen? Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. So powerful here. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. Boy, you could preach a whole series on that. Love never stops loving. When it's real love, right? Love never stops loving. It extends beyond the gift of prophecy, which eventually fades away. It is more enduring than tongues, which will one day fall silent. Love remains long after words of knowledge are forgotten. Our present knowledge and our prophecies are but partial. But when love's perfection arrives, the partial will fade away. When I was a child, I spoke about childish matters, for I saw things like a child and reasoned like a child. But the day came when I matured, and I set aside my childish ways. For now we see but a faint reflection of riddles and mysteries, as though reflected in a mirror. But one day, we'll see face to face. My understanding is incomplete now. Notice that. Amen? My understanding is incomplete now. But one day, it says, I will understand everything. How many of you got some things that you don't understand right now? Amen. But when we grow in love, love grows in us. There's going to come a day where our knowledge is not just going to be partial knowledge. We're going to have complete knowledge. And it says here that we will understand everything. And it goes on to say this. Just as everything about me has been fully understood. You know, God understands you fully. Yeah, he understands your heart, absolutely understands your heart. God understands your mind, your thoughts. Oh, he understands it. God understands your actions. He understands those things, right? Amen? God understands you fully. We are the ones that are growing in understanding of God. You agree with that? Amen. That's why we're here today, to grow in understanding of God. Amen. We're growing in understanding of God, growing in understanding of others, how to conduct ourselves with others. And let me put it to you this way, we're growing in understanding of ourselves. Amen. Amen. Sometimes I don't understand myself. Anybody ever been there? I just don't understand myself sometimes. Hello. Amen. But we're growing in that, right? Verse 13, it says, until then, until we understand everything, until we're face to face and all of these other things are the details are worked out, right? Because there's some things here that we may not fully understand until we get over there, and it'll all be fine in the long run. Amen. So don't sweat it. Right. Amen. Don't sweat it. It says, until then, there are three things that remain here, right? Faith, hope, and love. Then it says this, yet love surpasses them all. Amen. Isn't that powerful? Amen. Love surpasses them all. So above all else, it says, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. Amen. Amen. Love surpasses everything. So when I talk about love, I'm not talking about a feeling, because love is not a feeling. I'm not talking about an emotion, because love is not an emotion. Amen. I'm not even talking about a commitment, per se. Amen? I'm talking about God himself. For God is love. Love is God. 1 John tells us that. Amen? Love is God. God is love. Amen. So we can use those terms interchangeably. When we talk about God, or when we talk about love, the pure love of God, we're talking about God himself. Amen. Are you here with me today? Amen. Now I'm going to go slow because I'm in a teaching mode here today. That's okay. This is a different anointing, but this is something that's highly important. Amen. Don't miss a single word of what the Holy Spirit's going to say to us. Amen. Okay? So then, we notice there in verse 13, until we have a face-to-face encounter with our Creator, there are things here on the earth that are of the utmost importance, three things here on the earth, and that is faith, hope, and love, yet it's love that surpasses them all. Let me put it to you this way. It's greater than faith. Amen? It's greater than hope. Why is that? Why does God's love surpass faith? Why does it go beyond faith? Why is love the most important thing? Because love is the foundation for everything, including our faith. Amen. And if you don't have an understanding of the genuine love of God, you're sure not going to be able to understand and operate in faith. Amen? Galatians chapter 5. Oh, this is good. We're going somewhere. Galatians chapter 5. Shoo. This is good. Are you with me?
Yes.
Galatians 5 and verse 6. It says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. In other words, it matters none of these things on the outside, right? But it says here, but faith working through love. Say it with me. Faith works through love. God's love. It's the foundation. Amen? And so we must be rooted and grounded in this love. There must be a foundation of love in us in order for our faith to operate properly. The Passion puts it this way. It says, when you're placed into the Anointed One and joined to him, circumcision, and religious obligations can benefit you nothing. All that matters now is living in the faith that is activated and brought to perfection by love. Notice that. All that matters now is the faith that is activated and brought to perfection by love. Faith is activated by love. Amen? Love is what will bring your faith. Let me put it to you this way. Love is what will bring your faith to maturity. And without an understanding of the love of God, your faith will never, ever be brought to maturity. Amen? God doesn't just have love for us. He is love in us. And our faith works by God's love in us. Amen. You cannot have faith in God like Jesus said there in Mark 11. You cannot have faith in God without experiencing firsthand knowing the love of God. Amen. The Amplified puts it this way. It says, "For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love." That's so powerful. Love activates your faith. It will activate your faith. And without love, your faith is inactive. See how simple that is? Amen? Love will energize your faith. And without love, your faith will lack energy. It'll lack strength. Without love, your faith will be weak. Amen. In very simple terms, when we understand just how much God loves us, it's easy to have faith in God. You cannot have faith in God because God is love unless you understand the love of God. You get a foundation of the love of God, just like Jesus said here, right? Amen? To trust His word, to believe that He is faithful, to fulfill His promises on our behalf. Amen? On the other hand, if we don't know and understand that God loves us, right? It's hard to believe that He will bless us financially, that He wants to heal us, or that, you know, He will do anything that He has already established for us in His Word. So if we're going to talk about how to believe God, then this is a basic foundational principle here that we must grasp with all of our hearts: the love of God in us. And not even toward others. Thank God for the love of God toward others. But what about the love of God toward us? Amen? We're so quick, and we jump to this, and you know, there's truth to it. We talk about how faith works by love, and you got to walk in love, because later on there in Mark 11, he talks about forgiving others, right? So then when we hear that term about walking in love, we regulate it down or boil it down to walking in love towards everybody else. Oh, you got to walk in love. Well, yeah, it's true. But that's only half. Amen. Before you can even fully love anybody else, you have to learn how to love yourself. Not talking to anybody today. Yes. Amen? Amen? Yes. Many people, myself included, we've all been taught different ways through the years. One of the ways that I've heard things about God, that God is vengeful. He's out to get you. And that's why we believe what we believe about Him. And then we continually think that if anything bad or if anything hurtful happens to us, that it's an act of God to punish us and to teach us something. And consequently, we can't have faith in God or in a God that we think that is vengeful against us, that he's out to get us, that he's out to punish us. Are you here? I can't have faith in a God like that. You can't have faith in a God like that. Amen. This is good today. Amen. You cannot have any faith in God and his word to bless you financially, to deliver you, to set you free, to heal you. Amen. Give you wisdom and strength to resist every temptation that may come your way in this life. That's why understanding the love of God is so vitally important to our faith and being strong in faith. Faith works by love. Can we say that together? My faith
works by love.
We got to get a revelation of the very nature of God, that he is love. Not that love is just not something that he gives us, but that he is love and that he is merciful. And he is forgiving. And that he always wants to bless us. And he always wants to provide for our every need, whatever those needs may be. And when we get a revelation of this love, then we will begin to understand God as truly being a loving Father who would never harm us. Never. Never punish us. Because he loves us. Are you here today? God has never ever sent one single person to hell. We send ourselves there by rejecting his love. Amen? It's important that we understand this. You know, we live in a fallen world that's plagued with trouble everywhere you turn. My goodness, we did get so fed up with it. We've talked about it actually for about a month now. But this past week, the CNN stuff and Fox News and everything that's happened in the world, man, I shut that thing off. And it's not that I don't care, right? Amen? It's not that I don't love anybody else. There's all kinds of terrorist things that happened in the past week around the world, right? But if you aren't careful, these things can pile up on you. Because the news media, and there's so much fear attached to it. And it'll suck the love of God right out of you if you're not careful. You get fearful. Amen. It's okay today? So then we live in a world that is plagued with trouble. Amen. Everywhere you look, everywhere you turn on television. I mean, there's sex everywhere. Now everywhere you look, there's homosexuality everywhere. All kinds of stuff. There's murder. You can't watch a TV show without murder. Right? You can't do anything today. Right? Without seeing something like that, hearing something like that. And it's not just on TV. Why do you think it's on TV? Because that represents everyday life to so many people. That's how people live. The greed, the lust for other things, financially. Oh my gosh, it's everywhere you turn. Amen? And when we understand just how much God loves us, we can turn to him. And these things, these pressures that are bombarding us when you maybe sin, when you miss the mark. Right? You can turn to God instead of running from God. Especially whenever you find yourself in a mess. How many of you ever gotten in a mess? I could put up both hands, both feet. We've all gotten in messes, right? Messes stink. Sometimes other people create the messes, right? But usually the biggest messes are the messes that we make. Amen? But think about this. Even in spite of all of the messes, you may get angry at yourself, you kick yourself, you question your own ability, You question your own salvation. You question all of these things, your relationship with God. You question all of these, so many things that you question. Right? But think about this. The Lord never, ever once has questioned you. He loves you anyway. Amen? He loves you anyway. In spite of you. In spite of messes, in spite of things that go on. Amen? Whenever we find ourselves in a mess, it's not the time to run from God, which is the tendency of man without God. The unrenewed mind, it'll say, run just as fast as you can. Get away. Right? What's needed there? A revelation of the love of God. Jesus said, have faith in God. Have faith in my love. Learn to trust my love. Amen. Let's keep going here. Amen. So then God, he specializes. Turning our messes around, and sometimes, you know, there are natural consequences for our sin, because there are, right? You go rob a bank, you're going to end up in prison. Does God forgive you? Oh, yeah, he does. Federal government won't. They'll put you in federal, you know, right? Well, you can receive forgiveness, but there are still consequences for things from time to time. And even, sometimes even in situations like that, the grace and the mercy of God, my goodness, you heard a testimony here a couple of weeks ago with Tony Armstrong, right? Right? Look at the grace and the mercy of God, the biggest mess you could ever think of, so to speak. Get out of jail free. That's amazing. Amen? So God can even take situations sometimes where there may seemingly be natural consequences because of our actions. And he'll say, no, I'm going to cancel that. Not every time, but a lot of times, he'll do that. And usually he is able to do that when we learn how to have faith in him. And not think that, yeah, we really need to go to jail. We really need to be punished. They need to give us everything that they can give us. Because you're down, you're kicking yourself. And are you here? Amen. Amen? Praise God. So then, this is one of the foundations of our faith that will sustain us in times of trouble. When we understand just how much God loves us, that we can run to him and not from him, especially when we find ourselves in a mess, he can take that mess and he can turn it around, right? So we have to have a strong foundation in the love of God in your life. And if you don't have a strong foundation in the love of God, you won't have faith in God. You may think you have faith in God because you know a formula, or because you know something that the Bible says, and you may agree with something, and you think that your faith is working when it's not working. Because faith can only work when love is at work. When you have received God's love. Not just for somebody else, but for yourself. Amen? Oh, this is so good. Amen. Run to God when you sin. Don't run from him. Run to those that love you. Don't run from them. Oh, you're going to kill me for this. No, I'm not going to kill you. If you understand the love of God, I'm not going to kill you. I don't kill. Love doesn't kill. Amen? So then, without this foundational knowledge of the love of God, the life of faith is going to be reduced to a bunch of religious formulas that lack true intimacy with the God of the Bible. We can give you all kinds of formulas about faith and all kinds of formulas about walking with God and things that we, you know, maybe have heard for decades. Right? We've heard so many different messages about seven steps for health or divine health or healing. Seven steps for success, seven steps for prosperity, right? Amen? There's nothing wrong with those messages in and of themselves, but you cannot fail to factor in a personal communion, a personal communication, a personal relationship with God in order for those formulas to really work. Faith works by love. Have faith in God. Amen? Sometimes, you know, I've seen so many people do this. Some believers get a hold of these formulas and they hear messages about faith, and then they fail to completely surrender themselves to the will of God, the Word of God. And then faith, then, when we talk about exercising faith, faith becomes an exercise of greed and self-centeredness. Amen? And that's not going to work. Then when these people don't get what they want, it doesn't turn out the way that they think. It's supposed to turn out because Pastor said and the Bible said this. It's easy for them to say, see, this teaching about faith is false doctrine. It doesn't work. Amen?
Right.
Instead of learning the art of surrendering and yielding your heart and your mind, everything about you, to God, and having a personal relationship with God on an ongoing basis. Amen. Communion with God. Your prayer time with God. Prayer is loving in the Spirit. And a prayerless life is going to be a loveless life. And faith works by love. Are you here today?
Amen.
Knowing, submitting to, and walking in a daily communion with God. Right? With your Heavenly Father and His Word. It will help establish you in the love of God, and it will make your faith strong. It can't just be, even when you go to prayer, some of you have the tendency, you make all these lists and these things, and you got all... And there's nothing wrong with this, but you just got to be careful that it doesn't become a religious thing that you do. You got faith confessions. You know, we give away the books on Charles Capps, you know, confessions. Isn't that wonderful? That's fine. That's great. But you have to be careful. You cannot take that and let that replace, because you're making all the faith confessions and you read the Word and you confess the Word, and then you think that everything is good when it's not good. Because you've left out a real communion with God. And then you wonder why it doesn't work. Prayer is about 99% listening. And about 1% what you say. Sometimes you need to learn how to shut up in your prayer time. Oh, God, this, you know, you get your word out, you get your faith confessions, and you do all these things, and you just returned into a religious man. Sometimes you need to put those things aside. Are you here? And just talk to God face to face. Faith works by love. There was a time and a place for your confessions of faith. There's a time and a place for confessing the word before the throne of God. Absolutely. I don't make light of that. You better do that. But that never replaces a genuine one-on-one, heart-to-heart relationship. Enjoying His presence. Basking in His presence. Not wanting to move a muscle. Not wanting to say a word. But simply enjoying Him. And His love. When you have that type of relationship with Him, then the things that you do, so you're called to Him. You should read that book. Before you're ever called to do anything for Him. Amen? Amen? If we're going to believe God, especially if we're going to believe Him on a higher level, then we're going to have a greater understanding of God's love. Walking in love is not just walking in love towards others, but it's learning how to walk in love towards you. It's not always the unforgiveness towards others. It's the unforgiveness that you have in your heart towards you. Amen. Or being concerned about what somebody else has done concerning your mess. You better forgive me. Well, you know, they haven't forgiven me. Listen, whether they have or hadn't, that's not on you. And that should never, ever dictate your actions, your words. It should never, ever get you to that place, because the moment that you do that, you don't have faith in God. You have removed that. Because the love of God is not flowing. Now you're concerned about how somebody else feels about you. Faith works by love. Jesus said, have faith in God. Am I helping anybody today? Amen. Amen. Amen? Walking in love doesn't just apply towards others. The reason why we get so bent out of shape about others, about trying to make others forgive us and trying to make others feel a certain way about us, is because you're not even convinced that way yourself. Because if you are convinced of the love of God yourself, then you're not going to be concerned about others. You're going to walk around. You're going to be joyful. You'll be full of faith. You'll have peace. You can always check the way that you check your faith level to see where you're at in faith, check your peace. Check your joy. The devil can get those things from you, then you know just exactly where your faith is at. It's not in God. It's not in His Word. When you have truly come to peace with yourself, it really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. And what they think actually is their problem and not your problem. That is between them and God, not you, them, and God. And we're so full of devilish pride, where we think we try to make these situations, we interject ourselves in these situations, and we make the problem between us, them, and God. When really the real issue here, the heart of the matter, is you. Jesus said, have faith in God. I'm talking to myself today. The Lord is talking to you. He's talking to all of us. Amen? Amen. You hear? You cannot have faith in God for you unless you know just how much He has unconditional love toward you. What is unconditional love? Think about this. Oh, my gosh. I've been employing this. I've been trying to put it in different things for the past month or so. I'll say things like, I love you unconditionally. Meaning, there are no conditions in which this love that I have for you would ever not work. Whatever the conditions are outwardly, whatever the conditions are may seem to be inwardly, there are no conditions. There's no condition that you could ever be in. I will love you unconditionally, without conditions. That's the way the Lord loves us. Think about it. He loved us unconditionally when He sent Jesus, because if He was loving us conditionally, if His love for us was based upon our performance, He would have never come. Amen. We need to learn how to embrace a love for ourselves, not just toward others. I have learning, or am learning every single day, of what it means, Danny, to love Wayne unconditionally. Amen. Andrew, you got to do that for yourself. We all have to do that. I have to learn what it means to love me. You have to learn what it means to truly love you, that God loves you, understanding this love. and loving yourself without conditions, no matter what condition you may be in. And we've all had some bad conditions. Anybody had any bad conditions? You ever been in a bad condition? I mean, you're a mental wreck. Forget, you know, love and joy and peace, you know. Hello? See, the conditions are like so rocky. The conditions are hellish. The conditions are. Anybody ever been there? Then you get through it, and you get things worked out or whatever, then everything's good again. Now I love you again. No. So you're regulating faith down to a feeling. Even the love of God toward yourself, it's never, ever based on a feeling. It's never based on an emotion. Love is not an emotion. It will affect your emotions. But love is not an emotion. Amen. You love that cute little puppy dog till he chews something up or does something, then you're not feeling much love, are you? Hello, Mrs. Connell. Oh, my gosh. How did I get myself into this mess? What decision? What was I thinking? Didn't we do that?
That's what I said.
What was I thinking? Exactly. Too late now. You're in this. You committed. Same way with your kids. Same way with your family. Same way with aunties and uncles. Same way with anybody relating on any level. Sometimes you just don't feel it. And if you're living by your feelings where you're not feeling it, then you don't have faith in God. And then the love of God is not flowing the way that the love of God should be flowing. Don't let feelings ever get in the way of real love. Because pretty soon, the feelings will catch up. The feelings always catch. Everybody wants to feel them, and we will feel. But we're not led by feelings. The Lord loves me unconditionally. My faith, oh my gosh, how many times have I heard people say, oh, I can, you know, it's easy for me to pray for somebody to get them healed. It's easy for me to say, you know, God loves you. It's easy for me to say something towards somebody else and do all these things for others and get them in the right place, right? Get them to a place where they can receive from God. But then you come to a place, whether what happens, whatever the circumstance may be, maybe it's just an attack on your physical body or whatever, but then you get to that place, well, it's just so hard to exercise faith for my finances. I can believe for somebody else. I can believe for somebody else's healing. I'm not talking to anybody. But then when it comes to me, oh, that's just the hardest thing ever. Actually, it should be reversed. That should be the easiest thing ever, Danny. We were talking about this, weren't we? Amen? That whenever we're believing for others and the things that we do for others, my ministry even here with you, learn how to minister to others from the overflow of God's love. Between you and him. It's so much easier that way. And that's the way that it should be, but we've had it reversed for too long. Amen? And then if something ever happens, face it, you live in a fallen world. Right? There are temptations. I was talking to Scott Webb about this not too long ago. There are temptations. There's sin everywhere you look. The demon spirits that are at work behind the scenes, speaking, doing, pressuring, all of these things and trying to, you know, set things up in a certain way. And so you'll sniff this or you'll smoke that or you'll do this and whatever. And you keep repeating the same cycle over and over and over again.
something happens and you kick yourself while you're down and then, see, you know, I just can't do this, it's too hard. No, that's when you need to get up. And that's when you as a friend or as a you know, a loved one, family, that's when you need to embrace people at that time. Say, no, I'm not going to let you stay down there. Yeah, but you don't understand this, and I did that, and I said this, and you know, this and that. And No. We're in this life together. Amen. Faith works by love. And the reason why I can help you get out of this is because I've been there, right? I understand that, right? God loves me unconditionally, and because he loves me unconditionally, I can love you unconditionally, separate from the conditions. It's amazing what can happen that way, isn't it? Amen. Instead of just, you know, completely cutting things off. Are you here? So many times we're so quick to pull out a sword and to stab somebody with it or to cut somebody off, and the things that we do. And we do those things very often, Reuben, because we don't have a revelation of God's unconditional love towards us. And when we have a revelation of God's unconditional love towards us, then it's a whole lot easier, even though there may be feelings of aggravation, frustration, you know, stupid. You know how you feel towards others sometimes, right? We've all been there, right? But you can press through those things, and then all of those thoughts will just kind of be, oh, fly out the window. I'm not talking to anybody today. Faith works by love. How do we believe God? How do we believe God about us? Amen? Your faith is going to be effective and strong, then you must learn what it means to love yourself unconditionally. Stop beating yourself up when you miss it, or you're not perfect. So face it, you're not perfect. I'm not a prophet of doom and gloom here, but you're going to miss it. Until you're over on the other side. Think about this. All the stresses and all the pressures and everything's there. Not necessarily, let me try to put it in terms where we can understand it. Our very first breath, our last breath here, when we leave this place, will be our first breath on the other side. What is that breath going to be like? You breathe in. There's not going to be any of that stress. There's not going to be any of that pressure. There's not going to be, you can think clearer than you've ever thought. Then you're going to have full knowledge, full understanding about yourself, about others, because now you don't have all of these voices bombarding your mind and all of these thoughts, the devil coming around and putting like a headlock around your mind. And sometimes it just feels like your mind is going to explode. And when you get over there, it's like you've just taken this giant Tylenol and you'll never, ever have to take another one again because it is gone, Jack. But now, while we are here, we're not there yet. These three remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these that surpasses all the other ones, it's love. Love will get you through this life to the next. It may not always be fun in the process, but it'll get you there. Sometimes you may not feel like you're going to get there at all in one piece. Oh, you'll get there. Matter of fact, you're in pieces now. When you get there, you'll be complete. The pieces will all be together. And by faith, we receive that completeness down here right now. Amen? So easy sometimes to love others, express love towards others, but learn how to express love towards yourself. Amen? Unconditionally. Unconditionally. Learn to love yourself unconditionally. What can we do to establish our heart in the love of God for ourselves? Well, we can learn how to pray some prayers that are over in the book of Ephesians. Amen? Look over at this, Ephesians chapter 3. Anybody receiving anything today? Oh my goodness, the love of God is thick in here. Unconditional love. Because everybody here is in a different condition. But yet he loves us unconditionally. It doesn't matter. There's no strings attached to it. I mean, there's nothing. Whenever the love of God, the unconditional love of God, you don't do something in love towards somebody else with a string on the end of it. I'm doing this. Yes, I love you. But if you ever do something that I don't like or something comes up, then I'm going to pull the string a little bit. And I'll take it away. No, you do something you love in Jesus' name, or you give in Jesus' name. You're doing just exactly that. Don't forget that. You are giving this in Jesus' name. It means you have relinquished all ownership of that. And there are no strings to it. What you do, what you don't do. It's wonderful. Because you have the right to choose what to do with it and what not to do with it. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3. Look at this. Verse 14. So powerful here. New King James, I'll start out there. It says, for this reason. And I do this so much. It's so wonderful. You should practice this yourself. For this reason, I bow my knees. Let that be part of your prayer. Get down, bow your knees. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family, did you notice that? The whole family in heaven and earth is named. That he would grant, what's it say? Who? You. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Notice that. That you, who? You, being rooted and grounded in love, because you are rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, understand with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly. For who? For us. Right? Above all that we ask, or we think. See, you're the subject here. According to the power that works in this. What power? The power of God's love. The power of that unconditional love that you have received from him about you, and you learning to take that love that he loves you with and learning how to love yourself with it. Right? To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and ever. Amen. New Living. It says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Notice that. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep who strong? It'll keep you strong. Amen. When your roots grow down in that love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Verse 19. May you experience. Who? Me. May you experience. May I experience the love of, may I know it firsthand. The love of Christ. Though it is too great to understand fully. King James says it passes knowledge, right? Right? That what we read a few minutes ago? In other words, the love of Christ, the true love of God, this unconditional love, there are things about the love of God that is going to bypass your knowledge. You can't wrap your mind around it. I don't understand this love. What is this love? It's so great. It's so deep. It's so wide. How can he love me? How do I love? It passes knowledge. It passes knowledge. But you have to allow it to pass that knowledge about yourself, others. You have to learn what it means to tap into the mind of Christ. Instead of your own natural mind and trying to figure this out, how can this be? How can I love me this way? How can I do this for me? How can I do this for somebody else? How can I love somebody else's? It passes knowledge. The love of God, the unconditional love of God. See, he's got full knowledge of us. He's got full knowledge of your heart. He's got full knowledge of your mind. Don't ever use it, well, God knows my heart. A lot of times we say those things to try to justify ourselves, and it's not okay. Love doesn't need to justify itself. Amen. Oh, this is a good shouting message right here. Amen. He said, verse 19, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then it says, you will be made complete with what? All the fullness, it says, of life and power that comes from God. You want to learn how to live your life and enjoy life, and we all should. He wants us to live our life and enjoy it to the best that we can while we're here. Man, we're saved. We're going to heaven. Right? There's nothing that can ever happen here in this earth that could ever separate us from that.
Thank you, Lord.
So why do we have to, for lack of a better term, not that you're losing your salvation, why do we have to lose our salvation and get so angry, get so upset? I'm going to heaven. The Lord loves me, even though I'm here in what seemingly is hell on earth. Right? And learn how to exercise our faith for heaven upon the earth. But a lot of times we have to exercise our faith for heaven upon the earth because it's hell around us. Why do you think we have to exercise faith for heaven upon the earth? Because there ain't none here yet. We're the ones that bring it here. Wherever love is, will be heaven. More than heaven being a place, heaven is a person. And wherever this person is, it becomes heaven. Heaven is on the inside of you. Yes, you're going to get there eventually, you know, when your body gives out. But even before that, you have heaven in you right now. Because love is in you. And wherever love is, he turns it in to heaven. Isn't that powerful? Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power of love at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more because of this love than we may be able to ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul said that the love of God, it goes beyond the ability of our natural minds to understand, because it is a spiritual truth. It's a spiritual truth. It goes beyond the natural mind's ability. Your natural mind does not have that ability because it's a fallen mind. We're talking about a spiritual truth here. Amen. The Amplified. I'm going to wind up here in just a second. It's okay. Just a second. Give me just a second here. The Lord's working on something. Ephesians 3:19 from the Amplified. It says that you, that's you, right? Me. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves. Notice that. The love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and may become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Love himself. He loves me. I am filled and flooded and growing in the revelation of God's unconditional love towards me. There's no condition that I could ever be in. I might keep saying this. There's no condition that I could ever cause, or a situation ever cause, that I could ever be in that would ever stop the flow of God's love. Nothing. When we learn how to receive that love, it'll change the conditions. Amen. Love will always change the conditions. There's no limits to it. Amen. This love, it passes knowledge. It cannot be comprehended with a natural mind. It's only when we get born again, spiritually connected with God, that we can begin to understand deep in our hearts the miracle, and it is a miracle, of God's unconditional love toward us. Even being saved, think about this, for decades and decades and decades, you can still have a hard time understanding that God loves you no matter what you did, no matter what you said, no matter what you thought about others, but even especially yourself. Amen? It's easy to tell somebody else that God loves them, but it's harder to tell yourself. Right? Because the unrenewed mind will always get in the way. Consequently, it will hinder you from believing God's love toward you. How to believe God? We need to learn what it means to how to believe God. Amen? And then when it comes to exercising faith for you, it's not going to be an exercise of greed. God wants me prosperous. God wants me rich. God wants me to have more than enough. See, there's not a selfish motive attached to it now, right? So that I can do more, be more in the earth, here in the earth for him. Amen? Yes. Devil works overtime. Try to convince us otherwise of these things. Don't ever buy Satan's lie that God loves everybody else but you. How lame is that? He tells that same lie to everybody. Yeah. He loves others more. He loves pastor more than me. Or he loves so-and-so more than me. No, he doesn't. Let me put it to you this way. He doesn't love me more than you. He doesn't love you more than me or whoever's sitting by you or anybody else that you can think of at this moment. Now think about this. He doesn't even love Jesus more than you. Wow. He doesn't. Amen. The same love that Jesus gets, the same love that is expressed towards the Father, was the same love that was expressed towards Him. It gets expressed towards us. When He got raised, we got raised. When He got seated at the right hand of the Father, we got seated at the... You don't put people next to you like that unless you really love them. I'm in Christ. He's in me. It's not a different love. He doesn't have just, well, he loves me so much, but it's just a little bit different than the love that he has for Jesus. It's just a little bit lesser. No, it's not. It's the same love. It's not a different love. It's not a lesser love. I am on equal status as far as this is concerned with the love of God. He loves me the same way that he loves Jesus. Yes, the conditions were Jesus. There wasn't anything unconditional about his life that would cause that. But it doesn't make any difference now. His blood was shed. He loved me so much, even in the condition that I was in. It makes no condition whether the condition was all good. He never sinned. Or me, I was sin. See, there's no conditions here. I think we just need to, wow. Because your natural mind goes, it doesn't even know what to think. Now, we're all growing in this. Love, let me put it to you this way. Love is never awkward. Real love. It's never awkward. Now, think about this. Somebody says, somebody does something you don't like. Without a revelation of the love of God in you, you encounter that person, what happens? It gets awkward. Why? Because there's conditions there. It's only awkward when there's conditions. Because you're looking at the conditions. You're thinking about the conditions. And when you think about the conditions, oh, it becomes so awkward, then there's this huge elephant that's in the room and you don't know how to get it out of the room. We've all been there. But when you learn how to grow in the love of God, and pretty soon, the elephant gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and it becomes a mouse, and then it just disappears, and it's a cockroach as it runs out of here, and there's no more, and there's nothing. Do you think when the Lord sees you, you know, all of these things that you've done, well, you shouldn't think this way. We'll put it on Jesus now. Do you think that when the Lord sees Jesus, we ever, you know, something ever happens, and, you know, whatever the case may be, and he sees Jesus, you think it's ever going to be awkward? It's never awkward, Janice, between the Father and Jesus. And because it's never awkward between the Father and Jesus, it's never awkward between Him and us. So don't let the devil make you feel awkward towards God. And he does that. You sin, you mess up. Oh, it gets so awkward between you and God, you don't know what to say. He's like... So you cry and you cry and do these things and you hope that the awkwardness goes away. And sometimes the awkwardness just totally takes people out. It's just too awkward. It's too awkward to serve God. It's too awkward to do. I am not a perfect person. I'm messing up. I messed up so much. This is just too awkward. So I'm going to run from the awkward and I'm going to run to what's not so awkward.
But on the father's side, it's not awkward. The devil's the one that makes it awkward. The unrenewed mind will always work overtime to make things awkward. I want to learn, Herman, the unconditional love of God. I love you unconditionally. Learn to put that in what you're saying when you say that you love somebody. Learn to do that. Employ it. Practice it, because it makes you think and it makes them think. Somebody, you know, you may tell somebody that, may tell one of your kids, may tell one, you know, auntie or an uncle or somebody that, and if they don't understand, you know, what we're talking about here today, they hear you say something like that and they say, well, I love you unconditionally. Think, okay, what did I do? What did I do? What is that? What did I do? He loves me unconditionally. I must have done something. What causes you to do that? The unrenewed mind. Not having a revelation of the love of God, of the unconditional love of God. Now, you don't want to make people feel awkward, but you know what I'm trying to say here. Amen. It's okay today. It's okay if I just talk to you a little bit, right? Amen. Let me read this to you just a little bit. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Just stick with me, okay? Amen. Amen. The Lord loves you, personal faults and all. I got quirks. I'm a little quirky. Who isn't? You're quirky. And so many times we're always pointing out everybody else's quirkiness. And you're just as probably more quirky than they are. And that's okay. We're working on quirks, and God loves quirks. Quirks and all. Amen? Listen to this. So when I think of the wisdom of his plan, I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father, and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that he would pour out over you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being and his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. And the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life, providing you with a secure foundation that grows and grows. Now, I'm going to add to this. And grows and grows and grows and grows. You are the resting place of the love of God. His love in your heart is the resting place. Not just toward others. But he has set his affection, he has set his love upon me. Don't just sing that song and not know what you're singing when you sing it. Jesus loves me, this I know. Not just because the Bible tells me so. Thank God the Bible tells me so. But I know it by personal experience. I've come to experience the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So good, so good, so good. Amen? Amen? Then as your spiritual strength increases, you will be empowered to discover whatever Holy One experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate, how far-reaching is his love, how enduring, how inclusive it is. Endless love, beyond measurement, beyond academic knowledge, this extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God, the fullness of love. I'm full of love. Amen? The love of God, did you catch that? Is always inclusive. It's never exclusive. It doesn't exclude people or X them out. Don't ever be afraid. My goodness, we've been working on this. Robin and I have talked about this for years. Especially you're hurt and so many things that happen. You might have been here long enough. You know some of these things, right? Where you become exclusive with your love. And you begin to exclude people. You can only love so far. No. The love of God, it knows no boundaries. It's boundless. I am going to give my love. Unconditionally, the same way that Jesus did. Well, you better not get too close. Oh, I'm going to get close because the love of God is strong in me. I'm going to get closer. I'm going to get closer than I've ever been. What if they hurt you? They probably will. What if they talk about you? So what? They have before. What if they do? See, that's what fear does. That's what not understanding the love of God. You're always trying to, what if this and what if that? Love is never ever filled with what ifs. What if the love of God towards us was filled with what ifs? What if they don't receive Jesus and make him their Lord? What if they don't receive his love? What if they don't receive this death? I'm allowing him to come here. I love them so much. I'm going to send him. But he had no guarantee. Amen. Hear me in this. The Father had no guarantee that we would ever receive his love. That we would ever accept Jesus. Because there's a lot of people that haven't. That's right. Amen. He had no guarantee. But you know what? He did it anyway. He loved anyway. I love the book that Robin wrote years ago, Staying on the Giving Side of Life. He did it anyway. He gave anyway. He healed them anyway. There may be people today in hell that got healed by Jesus at one time. Who knows? Are you here? What did he do? He healed them anyway. He blesses financially anyway. There's no conditions to it. There are zero conditions. We can't express this or say this enough. There are zero conditions. Stop trying to put conditions on it. Amen. Selah. Mokosifite. I'm giving you a glimpse into my heart, says the Spirit of God. A glimpse of a pure love, of a holy love that is unconditional that I have towards you. A love that knows no boundaries. Take the limits off of my love. Take the barriers down from receiving my love. And allow myself to love you and to give myself and total abandon unto you and receive it. Receive me. Mere frosima kashtifi mamai. Frere masu di bere frondo costo dube. I've done it. I'm going to continue to do it. You have the freedom to respond to my love and to receive of my love and allow my love to heal you. Allow my love to renew your mind. Allow my love to set you free.
May there be a great breaking loose of my love in your heart toward you, says the Spirit of God. Be set free in my love today, in the name of Jesus. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. I've never heard anybody preach a message such as this. But I did hear Jesus preach it. He preached it to me. Because he preached it to me, I'm preaching it to you. Now he's preaching it to me again. To all of us at the same time. If you're here today, maybe your life is in a mess. Maybe you've walked away from God. This one thing I do know, he's never walked away from you. And he's there waiting for you. Maybe there are some things that you've seen today that are hindering your faith. Jesus said, have faith in God. Now the love of God is removing the limits to that faith. Not just toward others, but for you. If this message has touched you in any way, shape, form, or fashion, how about we just lift our hands? And how about we just worship him and love him and allow him actually to love us? Allow his love to wash through us. If you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to sit, you can sit. If you want to come to the front, come to the altar, then come to the front, come to the altar. That's up to you. The Lord is not angry at you. There are no conditions. He'll heal your mind. He'll heal your body. Things that you've done to yourself, he'll heal it. He'll I caused this. Yeah, you did. You sure did. But bless God, that condition's not big enough to stop the love of God.